Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Three women went out for dinner to a restaurant together. The first one was a bit embarrassed. She got out of her purse her glasses, and she said, "Oh, I only use these because the print in these menus is so small." The second one, also embarrassed, got out her glasses and put them on. And she said, "Well, I only use these because the lighting in here is so dim." The third one got out her glasses and said, "Yeah, you know, I hardly ever use these, except for when I want to see." They all used glasses because they all wanted to see. Obviously, they did not have perfect 20/20 vision. Have you ever heard that phrase, 20/20 vision? I see a lot of you with glasses on. I've got them on myself. And many of us want to be able to see perfectly, or at least as well as we can. And many of us have corrective lenses in order to help us do just that. I looked up this whole idea of 20/20 vision. I could have talked with one of our resident experts had I thought of it, but I looked it up online instead and found that 20/20 vision is an interesting thing. When you go to the optometrist and you sit down, you're seated 20 feet away from a chart, and you're to read down that chart, right, as far as you're able to see. And if you're able to get down to the eighth line, the line under which there is a red line, then you're able to see 20/20. That's the 20/20 line right there. If you could see better than that, then you might have what's called maybe even 20/10 vision, which means you're able to see as low on that chart as the average person with good vision is able to see at 10 feet. So you have 20/10 vision. We all want to see perfectly, right? Because seeing things accurately is important to us. We want to have 20/20 vision. That's a really important thing. Well, what I found interesting is that we have just come into a brand new year. And guess what? Wait for it. It is 2020. So today we're going to talk about what it means to have 20/20 vision in 2020. Get it? 2020 in 2020. Come on, I worked on that one. I think that's pretty cool. We're going to talk about that today. What does it mean for us as the church and as Christians to have clear and perfect vision? What does that mean? What does it mean to have 20/20 vision as Christians in the year 2020? Well, as I mentioned, today is the last day of Christmas, the 12th day of Christmas. Tomorrow, then, is Epiphany. And you remember the story of Epiphany. That's the story in which we remember the three, well, I say three, we don't know how many magi there were. The magi see the star. They interpret the star as saying, "Hey, there is a newborn king in Israel. Let us go pay homage to him." So they trek and traverse, and they go all the way to Israel. They go to King Herod. They ask, "Where is this newborn king?" They settle upon Bethlehem. They go down to Bethlehem. Ah, they have found the newborn king. They present their three gifts to the newborn king. They do all of this at great risk to their own personal safety. Why? Because they want to see Jesus. In today's gospel reading that I just read from Mark, very first chapter of Mark, here we have Jesus who's healing people. He's casting out demons. He's doing all these incredible things. He's teaching in the synagogues, and his fame is growing. People are coming to him from all over the countryside. Why? Because we're told they want to see Jesus. He even goes off to a desolate place to get away from them, and they come to him saying, "Jesus, everybody's looking for you." They wanted to see Jesus. In John chapter 12, even the Greeks begin to hear about Jesus, and they come to Philip and say, "We have come because we want to see Jesus." When it comes to vision, when it comes to seeing clearly, when it comes to having the right kind of vision that we as the church and as Christians ought to have in this year of 2020, what does it mean for us to have clear vision? It means that we see clearly Jesus. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, makes it very clear in his 12th chapter when he writes, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." it mean to be able to see Jesus clearly? Because quite frankly, there are a lot of things in this world that want to take our eyes off of Jesus. Every day we hear about crises going on in the world, bombings and violence and terrorism, all kinds of things. Sadly, another crabbing boat going down in Alaska breaks our hearts. Violence taking place in places of worship. What does it mean to keep our eyes on Jesus when we live in a world where so many things are calling for our attention and are causing us some level of anxiety? Well, part of it means keeping our eyes on the one who is the savior of our souls, keeping our eyes fixed on him, keeping our eyes fixed on him such that our whole life, our whole very being is in alignment with him. Have you ever wondered why it is that magi from the East, Greeks, Gentiles, poor and wealthy and educated and uneducated, all these people in the scriptures are drawn to Jesus? Have you ever wondered why in our world today, people all around the world are being drawn to Jesus and they want to see Jesus? It's because they've come to realize that Jesus has their backs, that Jesus has them. What does that mean? Well, it means that you know that Jesus has got you. And when you know that Jesus has got you, no matter what in the world is happening around you or within you, you know that you're secure. You know, life has never come with any guarantee that it's going to be easy. In fact, we know that life can be very challenging and very difficult. But nevertheless, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we know. We know that we are loved, deeply loved, held secure in our Father's arms. We know, like the writer of the Song of Solomon, that we are our beloved and our beloved is ours. We know that to the very hearts of our being. People want to see Jesus. But there's a problem. And the problem is that many people in the world want to see Jesus, not at 20 feet, where they can see him clearly, but a lot further out, where Jesus is a whole lot fuzzier. Because a fuzzy Jesus is a Jesus then that we are able to kind of shape into the image that we want Jesus to be. Many people have this issue, and this is, I think, a natural tendency of our human beings. Rather than seeing the Jesus who is, we have a projection of the Jesus we want to see. There was a seminary professor who offered a class called Jesus of Nazareth. First day of class, this professor had all of the students take a standardized psychological test. In the test, the first half of the questions had to do with Jesus. Do you think Jesus was an introvert or an extrovert? Do you think Jesus was a worrier? Do you think that Jesus played by the rules or kind of went his own way? Etc. Went on and on. The second half of the test asked the same questions, only this time with regard to the student themselves. Are you a worrier? Do you see yourself as an introvert or an extrovert? Do you tend to play by the rules or do you tend to kind of go your own way? Etc. On and on it went. The professor said that the results were extraordinary. In every single case, who the person saw themselves as was also the same as who they saw Jesus as. They saw Jesus as an extension of themselves. They wanted to paint Jesus like they see themselves in their own mirror. Rather than conforming themselves to who Jesus is, they kind of came up with an imagined Jesus as to who they saw themselves to be, which is interesting and very dangerous. See, Jesus wasn't for them the measure of who they should be. Rather, they were the measure of who they thought Jesus should be. They created a Jesus in their mind that in every way agreed with them. And that's such a dangerous thing for us, right? Because if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus, well, then Jesus becomes for us an abstraction. One of the characters I just love in the scriptures is Peter. Now, Peter could be impulsive, and I've been told sometimes I can be a little impulsive. Peter was dedicated. Certainly, he was faithful. He was a person who followed through on things. He was an amazing person in some ways. I love Peter. Well, one day, you remember the story of Peter when he is in the boat and walks on the water, right? Imagine the story. Visualize it, if you will. Peter's in the boat with a group of the disciples. It's a bit stormy out, and they see somebody walking on the water. They're all a bit freaked out. I'd be freaked out, too. Somebody's walking on the water, right? Doesn't happen every day. And Peter realizes, hey, that could be Jesus. Jesus, if it's you, let me come out and walk with you on the water. And I can imagine the other disciples thinking, seriously, Peter? Seriously? Come on, man. Come on. You know, I imagine the other disciples rolled their eyes more than once at Peter. But the Lord says, Peter, come. Now, Peter's eyes, we're told, are fixed on Jesus. There's a storm out there. The wind is blowing. The waves are kind of rocking things. Does Peter notice any of that? None of it. Why? His eyes are fixed on Jesus. He's beginning to walk to Jesus, eye to eye, right here, right here. They've got each other. And he's walking to Jesus. It doesn't matter what's going on around him. Confident. He's bold. And then he has this aha moment. He starts to notice what's going on around him. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and starts to notice the storm, the wind, the waves, everything else. And it fills him with fear. And he starts to sink. Now, Jesus, of course, would have known and anticipated this happening. And thinks, okay, here it comes. Come on, Peter. Come on, calm down. Peter, right here, right here. Back with me now, eye to eye. Come on, Peter. Peter, look at me, Peter. Come on. I got you, Peter. And Peter doesn't do that. He keeps getting nervous. A long time ago, my daughter sometimes is given to anxiety, right? And that's never a pretty thing. And she's doing a lot better now. She's in college. But a long time ago, I was with her at a dance event. She was in a dance group, and I could tell that she was having one of her anxious moments. Now, she was across the room with other kids. There were other parents in the room. I couldn't talk to her, right? She was far away, but I knew that if I could somehow lock eyes with her, I'd be able to communicate. So as she was looking around the room, I was trying to get her attention, right? Right? And once I did, once her eyes locked on me, I wasn't able to verbalize anything, but with my eyes, I was able to say, honey, I got you. I got you. You're going to be fine. Breathe. Calm down. You're going to do great. This is going to be awesome. We can communicate so much when our eyes are fixed on someone else who believes in us, who's got our backs, who's calm, who has control of the situation. And I was able to do that with her. I was able to kind of bring her off the edge, as it were, simply with some loving, intentional eye contact. And I know that that's what Jesus was trying to do here. He was trying to have that kind of connection with Peter, who's floundering in the waves. Now, did Peter reestablish that kind of contact with him? He didn't. He was overcome with his fear. He was overcome with the wind and the waves. He began to sink. Fortunately, Jesus doesn't demand that we look at him before he saves us. Jesus saved him anyway. Jesus reached out his arms because Jesus is filled with grace. Reached out his arms, cared for him, and brought him back into safety. The same is true of us. Jesus wants us to fix our eyes on him. Sometimes we fail, right? Sometimes we begin to sink. Sometimes the anxiety and the worry of the world begins to overwhelm us. Jesus knows this about us. He's always there quickly to save. He's always there because he's got our backs. But Jesus wants us to fix our eyes on him no matter what's going on around us. Maybe you've been that mother who's been in the grocery store with your little toddler child, and the toddler child is having one of those days and has a complete hissy fit. Falls on the floor, screaming. You swear they're possessed. You're screaming and doing this and all, you know, and you're just thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, everyone in this store thinks I am the worst parent in the world and that I've got the brattiest child in the whole wide world, and they probably don't think I should even be a parent. Somebody's going to come and take away my parenting card, my credentials, because nobody thinks I'm a very good parent. In that moment, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's got you. There's going to be a time, perhaps, when you're with a loved one and you're sitting in the doctor's office and your loved one has just had that scan. The scan has been read. The results are back. And the doctor's now giving a referral to an oncologist. In that moment, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's got you. You might find yourself as that single parent trying to raise kids. And you're being that soccer mom or soccer dad, and you're bringing those kids all over the place, trying to just raise good citizens, kids with good values, but you're by yourself. And you're trying to deal with work, and you're trying to get them fed, and you're trying to get them where they're supposed to go. You're burning the candle at both ends. In those moments, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's got you. You might be married to a spouse who's not physically abusive, but verbally abusive. And that spouse has just said things to you in a tone of voice that has you sinking into a deep, dark hole of depression. In that moment, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's got you. He's got you. See, that's just the thing. God has never promised that our life is going to be easy, my friends. He's never promised that. Never. But He did promise that He would be with us every step of the way. He has promised us grace. So let me get real practical. How do we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus when it seems as though our world is falling apart? Well, I've come up with just 6 ideas, and there might be many, many more, but I've got 6 ideas. If you're into writing notes and you want to jot these down, you certainly can, but these are a few ideas as to how we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, how we can have 2020 vision in the year 2020. First one is this. Focus on who God is. The Bible's very clear as to this God that we worship and who He is. And who is this God that we worship? Well, He's none other than our Savior, the Redeemer, our Comforter, and our Friend. He's the living hope. He's the rock of our salvation. He is our loving Father. He is our guide, and He is our help in time of need. Focus on who God is. Secondly, begin your day with Him. You know, I have found just in my own spiritual life that my day goes a whole lot better when I begin the day with Him. When the first thing I think of out of bed is about God, and I'm lifting up my prayers to Him. Maybe I spend just a little bit of time just meditating on just one Bible verse. The daily textbooks that we have out here are so helpful for that. Maybe it's a song I listen to on the car ride to work. Begin your day with Him. It goes a whole lot better. Third, focus on who we are in Christ. You see, when we are in Christ, we become a new being. Who are we? Well, the Bible tells us that we are His children. It tells us that we are loved. The Bible tells us that we are a royal priesthood, that we are safe in His protection, that we have been bought with a price. Next, know Him. Come to know who He is. Right? He's not hiding in the clouds. God has revealed Himself to us because God wants to be known. He wants to be known. Come to know Him like a lock has memorized every single piece of that key that gets inserted into it. Come to know Him like that key. Memorize who He is for you so that when He comes and drives into your heart, there's something that gets released within you and you are sprung free, free to live free, not bound but free. Come to know Him. Next, know His promises. God in His Word has made promises to you. Know those promises. He will never leave you or ever forsake you. That's a promise. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. That's a promise. He will never waste any of the pain that you have or are currently going through. None of that will ever be wasted. He will use that to His glory and yours. He will pick us up when we fall. Every good thing that we have comes from Him. These are His promises. Finally, be a light. Be a light. Do you know that we live in a dark world? It's a dark, dark world. And here's the bad news. The world is only going to get darker. Things are only going to get worse. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that. The world is going to get worse. So in this world in which we are, be a light. There's a lot of hurting people in this world. Sadly, hurting people hurt people. That's the way it works. Have a servant heart toward those who are hurting. Love your neighbor, even when your neighbor is hard to love. Give, even when you don't feel like you've got a lot to give. Be kind to someone and shine your light. Not so that they see you and glorify you, but that they see Jesus through you. I just want to close with one little illustration. And this comes from my uncle, who is a pastor back in the Midwest for his whole career, getting on to 90 years old now. But he told the story of when we had a lake cabin in Minnesota together that my family and his family shared together, that he was on this road going up to the lake cabin. And he had the beautiful lake on the one side, beautiful fields and trees and everything else on the other. Beautiful night, sun was getting ready to set, sky was magnificent. He was just enjoying the view, right? Having one of those God moments where creation itself was just crying out with God's glory until suddenly a big old June bug splat on the windshield. Now, if you don't know June bugs, they are a big beetle that sometimes fly and sometimes, you know, along the lakes in Minnesota, you can get one on your windshield. Well, he went to use his windshield wiper to clean off the windshield, and that only made things worse because now he's got this big black greasy spot across the windshield. Now, nothing had changed outside. Right? Sun was still setting, the lake was still beautiful, the trees, the sky, everything was incredible. But he couldn't see it now. All he could see was that June bug that had splat on his windshield. Sometimes it's like that, isn't it? God has shown his glory all around us. His presence is right here with us. But we can't see it because our eyes are not focused on him. They're focused on the June bug splat on our windshield or whatever that might be for you that distracts you from being able to see Jesus. Fixed eyes on Jesus. Know that God is always there with us, that he has never for a moment forgotten us. Fixed eyes know that God is active, that God is well, and that God is aware of what's going on with us. Fixed eyes on God know that God is our Redeemer and our Rescuer. Fixed eyes. Don't focus on the June bug on the windshield. Fixed eyes. Don't veer off the road. Fixed eyes. Avoid the potholes in life. Fixed eyes. Stay on the one who's got us, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. My friends, may this year, 2020, be the year of 2020 vision as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of your faith, no matter what else might be going on around you or within you. To God be the glory. Amen.